Hour number two, we're getting you ready for Thursday night football. We'll get you out to Lambeau Field in about an hour. The Kings are currently practicing, and they will play on Monday. Preseason is one thing.
Right.
But, you know, I've been out there for practice. You watch them practice. And I'm looking at this roster, and I'm wondering, as you look at the players that we know that are going to be playing, in other words, you know, you know that George Hill and De'Aaron Fox are going to play, okay?
Yep.
Right? You know that Buddy Hield and Bogdanovich are going to play, all right?
Yep.
You know that Willie Cauley-Stein and Kostas Koufos are going to play. You know that Justin Jackson is going to play. You know that Scal Labissiere is going to play. You know Vince Carter and Zach Randolph are going to play. You know Garrett Temple's going to play. I mean, my point that I'm asking you, how many guys do you think that Dave Yeager is going to be able to play on October 18th and moving forward?
I want to say that you and I talked about this, the fact that a deep team is the way that you go now, meaning that if you have the ability to have two starting five. So that's kind of how I'm looking at it. Now, I will say that I think that Coach Yeager, and it would have been good for us to talk to him about this, but the ability for him to allow guys to compete for more playing time.
Right.
Interestingly enough, if you're going to, for instance, let's say Vince Carter at the three and Justin Jackson at the three, for instance.
Okay.
How much are you going to play Vince? How much are you going to play Justin? Do you give Bogdan some of those minutes or Malachi some of those minutes? Those things, in my opinion, are going to have to be earned. So I would probably say through training camp and maybe the first 10 games, it's going to be a fluid situation.
All right, well, let me ask you this.
Okay.
Buddy Hield probably is going to start. I'm just saying probably.
Right?
All
okay.
Right? He may not, but I'm just throwing it out there.
Mm-hmm.
Bogdanovich is going to play a lot.
Yep.
All right, let's now go and talk about Garrett Temple.
Okay.
All right? Like, you just mentioned Vince Carter and Justin Jackson. You just mentioned those two at the small forward.
Yep.
I just mentioned two guys at the shooting guard position, and Garrett Temple's natural position is a shooting guard. Where's Garrett Temple going to play on this team?
And this is what I tell young players. The value in you is the ability to do a lot of different things. And I think Garrett Temple can fill in three different positions.
I agree with you.
One through three. So he doesn't really have to worry about playing, because in those three positions, if the guy behind isn't playing well, go get him, Garrett, if you need a little point guard.
Because fair enough.
So I think he finds his way in his minutes, because also Coach Yeager, Grant can depend on him.
All right, let's go to the point guard position.
Okay.
George Hill.
Yep.
De'Aaron Fox.
Yep.
Bogdan can handle the ball.
Yeah.
And then there's Frank Mason, who everyone loves.
Absolutely.
You and I both know you don't play three point guards during the course of a game.
No, you do not. So, this is an interesting one. I think that you might see De'Aaron Fox at the two guard sometimes,
right,
to get him some more minutes.
No, but you see, I'm not asking
this
you to coach the team.
This is a good problem to have,
I'm not asking you to coach the team, but I'm saying if you have De'Aaron Fox and George Hill playing together in the backcourt, which I think we'll see at times, then that means that Buddy's not on the court playing too. Bogdan wouldn't be on the floor at that point playing. I mean, my point is you can only have five guys on the court at once.
You know what I say, Grant?
What's that?
Step your damn game up. If you want to play, step your game up. George Hill, Buddy, and let's say, I don't know if you bring Vince off the bench or not. Justin Jackson, Vince Carter. Okay, so now there's your starting 1, 2, 3. Do the Kings go small sometimes?
Yes.
Which, okay, so now Vince probably can play at the four. I think that there's a positionlessness, did I just make up a word?
You got it.
Okay, about this team that will allow Coach Yeager to facilitate a lot of different guys getting some minutes, and the ones that earn more will get more.
All right, and there's a player that we didn't even mention who everyone, and I mean everyone, is raving about.
Oh, yeah.
And you know who I'm talking about. His name is Harry Giles.
Yes, sir.
And when you ask people, who does he remind you of? It's a guy that was a hell of a player whose jersey's hanging up above the floor. His name's Chris Webber.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I'm not saying Harry Giles is going to be Chris Webber, but here's what I am saying. Had it not been for his ACLs,
right,
you probably would have seen Harry Giles' name called first in this year's NBA draft.
No question.
All right, Chris Webber's name was called first in the NBA draft. Again, but he did have knees. He did have an – I got to tell you, I'm just telling you from my eyes. When I watch the Kings practice, other than the fact that Harry Giles has a sleeve on the left knee and a sleeve on the right knee, which most guys wear in this day and age, I wouldn't know there's anything wrong with him.
Man, I saw him try a dunk. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, he tried it. The fact that he tried it, I just went,
tried what?
He tried to dunk on somebody that just blew my mind. And I just went, oh, my goodness. That lets me know that he's gaining that confidence. He has things to work on, one being upper body strength, but his overall mental capacity to take in the game.
He sees the game two passes before it happens.
He does, and I like that. His only thing, Grant, is going to be his health. That and that's for most guys, but for him in particular, because he's had two ACL injuries.
Of course it is.
But I don't see anything in him that jumps out at me and says, man, he's been injured. His gait is correct, all the different things.
All right, let's get to Jason. Hello, Jason.
Hi, guys. Happy Thursday to y'all. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
I wanted to, first of all, your breakdown of the players and everything is absolutely fantastic. So I totally appreciate what you guys are doing, and I'm so excited this year. Never been this excited about the Kings and the possibilities. And it's so neat as a fan to see people, professionals, come together with a willing attitude to play together. It reminds me a lot like when you played, Doug.
Yep.
You know, and that is just so refreshing. I gotta believe, Grant, you are just like staying awake at night, not in worrying, but just in excitement, you know, over what we had just last year. I mean,
it's night and day. I mean, it's a whole different atmosphere. It's like I made a comment to somebody the other day at practice. I'm not going to mention who. I said, you know what? It almost feels like I, in the off season, moved to a different town, and I'm now covering a completely different team. Because that's exactly what it seems like. Everything is completely different with the basketball players. The whole thing is turned upside down, and there's a whole new chemistry, a whole new vibe. It's great.
You know, and to that point, a lot of the whole league were clowning on Vlade about his decisions. But the thing is, they don't really understand is Vlade, his personality. He's such a genuine person in the way he comes across, and you can hear it in what he says. And that's something you can't teach a GM. You know, you can't teach that. And as a former player, I'm so excited to see him and what he's going to be doing.
Well, I said the day he was hired, and I've been here now, this will be my 30th season. When the Kings signed Vlade Divac back in 98, I said that was the best move they had ever made. And when they signed him to be the general manager, I said that was the second best move they've ever made. And I'm sticking by that because I'm convinced, and I'm not saying this because I consider Vlade, you know, not a very good friend, but forget about that for a minute. I believe in him. I talk to him on a regular basis. I've seen his vision. I've known his vision. I know what he can do, I know what he is doing, and I know where he's taking this basketball team in the future, and that's why I'm very comfortable in saying that.
And, Jason, you know what I say to those people who say that? Joke's on you, Jack. Just watch.
Right.
Just watch. I would second what Grant said about Vlade, but the one thing is he's been in it and he's done it.
Yeah.
Not that you have to do that, but – He has a vibe about him that he wants to see about this team, and that's what I think Grant's speaking to, and what you're feeling, Jason, without even seeing it yet, is you can feel it. It's a really good vibe about these guys.
And I'll tell you something else about Vlade, and I think it has to do with the language barrier, with English not being his first language, is that Vlade, and I mean this, is one of the smartest guys I've ever been around, and he is common sense smart, and by that I mean – like, you're not pulling the wool over Vlade's eyes.
He's almost too smart for his own good sometimes. That's what I tell him.
And that's and you know. So it's not just me saying this. You feel the same way as I do, don't you?
No doubt, Jason. I can hear the excitement in your tone, Jason, and I'm excited for you and all Sacramento Kings fans.
Well, you guys are doing a great job, and I'm so excited. Here's one thing I just noticed with the NFL, and I know you're a huge NFL fan, Grant, and – I'm a huge fan of the Steelers, and I actually liked what they did. And I remember recalling like two months ago when you guys were talking about this, I think DCU had brought up about staying in the locker room.
Uh-huh.
And I thought what the Steelers did was great. And even with Villanueva being an Army Ranger and doing two tours and all that other stuff, I understood that. And And then I saw some of the articles about what some of the Kings players were saying, and I was like, man, I really don't want to turn off the game. I don't want to turn off the players, because people are asking athletes who are purely entertainment to make political statements. And I just hope that the Kings ownership just sets that aside. And if they want to do stuff in their community, which I totally encourage, in their backyard, I just don't want to see it. And I really hope that that doesn't happen as a fan.
Time will tell, that's for sure. I don't have a crystal ball any more than Doug has, but we do sincerely appreciate your call. We've got more phone calls to get to, and we'll do that when we come back.
It is 4:20, time to get your UC Davis Aggies football tickets as they host North Dakota at Aggie Stadium this Saturday, 6 p.m. Go to UCDavisAggies.com.
All right, let's get to Casey. Hello, Casey. How are you?
Hey, guys. How are you doing?
What's happening?
Not much. So I just wanted, I had a couple of things I want to talk about. First was Harry Giles and the injuries to him. I think that one thing is, I believe it's both knees he's had repaired, correct?
Yep.
So to me, looking at that, I think that's better than if it was one knee that had failed twice. I think that it's more promising that it's both knees.
Because I would agree with that. I would definitely agree with that.
Because you can come back a lot faster and a lot better. You can come back even stronger now with the technology that they have. So I think that it's possible that it's never going to be an issue for him again.
It is possible, especially with this day and age of medical technology. That is very possible. It's also possible that they will bother him for his entire career. But, again, I'm only going by what we know now. There's been no signs of that.
Yeah. And then my second thing was with the backlog that we have at the guard position and the signing of George Hill being such a big contract and him being a guy who could really help a playoff team, do you think that it's possible that we could use him as trade bait to a team that probably loses somebody throughout the year, and by the time the trade deadline comes around, our young guys are going to have a half a year experience under their belt, and they may look to move George Hill?
I think it's a real possibility that some of the veterans that are currently on the roster could be in that scenario when February comes along. Absolutely. Now, I don't know if I would say George Hill, but in terms of some of the veterans, yes, I do think that's a distinct possibility.
Yeah, it seems like we do have a lot of veterans that could be moved, like a lot of good assets as far as that goes, because obviously we're looking to the young guys for the future, and these guys could just help us build more, get younger players, and I think it's a good thing. Also, the last thing I want to say is I believe that Bogdan is going to be the highest paid rookie in the history of the NBA.
That's accurate. Yeah. And it's and listen, I made this same mistake, so I'm not saying this, but it's Bogdan, not Bogdan. It's Bo, like B-O-W, so like it's a long O, Bogdan.
Bogdan Bogdanovic.
Yes.
Okay, so do you think that because of this, the way that the draft is set up, that he sat out the 2 years or 3 years, whatever it was, do you think that could be something that European players start doing so that they can make more money and try to avoid the rookie cap?
You know, I think all the players are different, but yes, I do think it's always a possibility. I think a lot depends on what their aspirations and dreams are, when they're at a young age. Now, Bogdan, is not, he's not a Peja Stojakovic type when Peja came over here at his age. But the system's different now than when Peja played. So it's a great question. I don't have the answer to that, but here's what I like. I like the fact that the Kings, like a lot of other NBA teams, like your De'Aaron Foxes of the world, they're kids. They're not even old enough to go out and legally have a drink. And now you have a player that's 24 that is basically, mature and is now one of the older players on the team, even though he's not even close to being in his prime, and is more seasoned and is going to pick up the NBA life a lot quicker and, in my opinion, be more successful. So to me, I look at that as a real positive for the Kings, not a negative.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a fun season, and I'm looking forward to it. Thanks, guys.
Awesome. Thank you, Casey.
Thank you. Again, though, I go back to and this is – a nice problem to have.
Yeah,
and
it is.
You mentioned that. But I do know that, you don't have to be a former NBA player like Doug or a football, whatever, to know that guys don't like sitting on the bench.
No. They want to play. If you're worth anything.
But there are going to be some players that are sitting on the bench that are going, why aren't I playing? And
well, I tell you, go over there. See the mirror over there? Go over there and look in it.
Yeah.
See that basket over there?
Yep.
Be here at 6 in the morning and leave at 7 at night.
Hey, listen,
and get it in.
Get yes.
make us all better.
I'm with you. But again, I'm just going by this. Okay, if I only mention George Hill and De'Aaron Fox,
right?
If I only mention, and I'm not going, I don't know what the starting lineup is,
right.
But I'm just so if I go George Hill and De'Aaron Fox, if I go Buddy Hield and Bogdan Bogdanovich,
mm-hmm.
if I go Vince Carter, Justin Jackson, okay,
mm-hmm.
if I want to go Costa Kufis, Scal Labissiere, Zach Randolph, right?
Yep. Willie Cauley-Stein.
And I was just going to mention Willie Cauley-Stein. I didn't even mention Garrett Temple's name there.
And you didn't mention Frank or Malachi?
I didn't mention, that's exactly right. And so.
And that's too deep at every position.
Yes. And so what I'm saying is Dave Yeager can't play all those guys. Now, there's a chance that you're going to have a guy with an ankle or
yep.
something. But let's just assume that everybody's ready to go on opening night. He can't play 12 guys.
Yeah. I mean, we've seen, and you've seen, Coach Adelman sometimes would go 10 deep, but when the playoffs started, we were 8 solid, and that's usually what it went. Maybe a ninth, but mostly 8, because it's hard to manage those minutes, especially, Grant, when somebody gets a game going or something like that. Stay in there, but that takes away minutes.
Sure.
Luckily, when we had our rotation, it was Mike, myself, and Bobby. We didn't add a fourth one in there because between the three of us, we would kind of rotate it out and then you'd kind of flip it around. It's going to be interesting. Guys are going to have to earn their minutes, and that is something that Coach Yeager, yep. as we saw last year, he is solid about.
Well, and that's why I believe that the starting lineup early in the season is going to be more veteran-laden than the youngsters. In other words, that means I could see a Vince Carter, a Zach Randolph, okay, starting. George Hill is going to start. I can guarantee you that.
Oh, no doubt.
Right?
I was thinking he and probably Willie are probably the two that I could probably pencil in as starters.
All right. Don't be surprised if Costa Kufis starts.
Yeah.
I mean, my point is,
he knows the system.
That's right.
You know what you're going to get from him. There are a lot of different things that you know with a Costa. Yeah, I agree. It's going to be interesting, man, and it's going to be a lot of fun to watch this young
yep.
/ veteran team mix and mesh together.
We'll be right back. Don't forget, Thursday Night Football coming up in 30 minutes right here on Sports 1140 KHDK.
It is 4:34. Time to get your UC Davis Aggies football tickets as they host North Dakota at Aggie Stadium this Saturday, 6 p.m. Go to ucdavisaggies.com.
All right, let's get to Mitch, who will start us off here at 4:34. What's up, Mitch?
How's it going, guys?
What's happening?
Beautiful day. Hey, it's nice to have a nice problem. You seem like the Kings have it's like they can feel a team of two teams. I didn't think they're going to make the playoffs. And they won't,
who are they going to make the playoffs over?
I'm sorry?
How are they going to make the playoffs? Like, who are they going to – who in the West do you think that right now most people think's a playoff team that's not? Like, I mean, I hope you're right, but I'm trying to be objective about this. How are they going to make the playoffs in the Western Conference?
I don't think Poland. You got Poland. I don't think that is good. You know, Phoenix is still working on it.
Minnesota. Yeah, Phoenix isn't a playoff team. All right, so Portland made the playoffs last year. You don't think they'll make it this year, correct?
Well,
all right. So let's just say you're right. All right, no. Let's just say you're right. All right, I could see that. What about Minnesota? Are they a playoff team this year, in your opinion?
Yeah, they do. They have one of the best centers in the
NBA. Yeah. All right. So I'll put them in the playoffs. All right. So now. Is Memphis, Oklahoma City, Utah, the Clippers? I mean, so you could be right, and I'm not saying you aren't, but I don't know how the Kings are going to make the playoffs this year is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Because I think it's going to take Mitch. I know last year it was 41 and 41 got in.
Come on up, Grant. Yeah. Come on up.
Yeah, let's start with the number of 44.
That sounds about right.
Right. So that means the Kings would have to win, you know, 44 games, all right, and lose 38.
Mitch, you still there, buddy?
It's plausible. They seem to be like too deep in almost every position.
They are that.
But they're too deep and inexperienced in a lot of positions.
Well said, Grant. That's the problem. Is there talent there, Mitch? Yeah, but some of that talent has to prove. Like, we don't have a problem with Vince Carter, except Vince is starting to get older. The same with Zach Randolph, Costa Kufis. We could go George Hill. Those are proven players in the NBA. De'Aaron Fox, Justin Jackson, these players, they have to prove. Now, I think that they will be fine, but it's going to take a little time. Got to develop your body, a lot of different things.
here's the other issue, okay? You play the Warriors, the Spurs, the Rockets, and I'll throw in the Thunder because I personally think those are your four best teams in the West, okay? So that's 16 games right there. Maybe you win three of those games, all right? Maybe. I'm trying to, and I know last year they beat the Spurs. I know last year the Kings beat the Warriors. I get that.
Yep.
But I've got to be realistic about this. So out of those 16 games, you go 3-13. All right?
Wow.
I mean, you understand what I'm saying, Mitch? Like, the West is so strong. I don't know how you get to that 44-win plateau. I just don't.
You would have to, Mitch, absolutely clean up against the Eastern Conference.
Right.
And to make the playoffs in the Western Conference, you're going to have to dominate the East.
And then there's Denver. Well, a lot of people think Denver's going to be a playoff team this year. I'm not there yet because I don't like their point guard situation.
Yeah.
Right, he's still up in the air. But at least, maybe one more year of a draft. But I think with this new draft, which I agree, I don't like it. I think if you're not in the playoffs, you get one ping-pong ball. Everyone has an equal shot. It's just tying.
I know. Listen, and Mitch, I know. I'm with you on that. I don't like the system either.
Well, you know, last time that happened, granted, it was big cards in New York Knicks. Supposedly left it in the freezer overnight. I don't know, Graham.
Well, here's what I do know. The system's going to change, and I don't think it benefits small markets. And here's the other thing I know. I always try to be objective about this stuff, okay? Like, if I think the Kings have a chance to make the playoffs, I'm going to come on the air and tell you that I think they're a playoff team. I'm telling you I don't think they're a playoff team. And I also would love to tell you, I hope I'm wrong, but I think people need to temper their expectations this year, if you're going to use the word playoffs, because I don't think that's realistic is the point I'm trying to make.
Yeah, and I would be with you there. I think that I want to say ESPN had them at 27. That's a little low in my opinion. I think that the Kings get above 30 wins. Where they get above 30 wins is going to ultimately be to how much lightning in a bottle you catch and how well they come together.
Here's the part I like the best.
Mm-hmm.
I like the fact that the players think they're a playoff team.
That's all that counts,
that's
to be honest with you.
That's all that matters. That's all that matters.
Yes.
And they genuinely do.
Oh, no doubt.
And so I love that.
Yeah, because you have some serious veterans that have been there before, paired with some mid-range when you talk about Willie Cauley-Stein and Scal and a couple guys who've had a little bit of experience. And then you go all the way down to guys who don't have any experience, and there's something to be being young and dumb, Grant, just going out and going after it.
Absolutely. So, Dave Yeager, really, when Doug and I just went over the roster, and we're talking about the depth of this team, and again, if you want to see Buddy Hield and Bogdan Bogdanovic play at the shooting guard position, if you know that Vince Carter is going to play X number of minutes and Justin Williams has looked tremendous, all right, he's going to play. All right, then I ask the question, where's Garrett Temple going to play and how many minutes is he going to play? If you agree that George Hill is your starting point guard and yet De'Aaron Fox is going to play, all right, where are the minutes for Frank Mason? And then if you get to the big rotation and you're talking about, you know, Scal, Willie, Costa, Zach, all right? I mean,
yeah.
And I haven't even mentioned Harry Giles' name yet.
No.
And
you don't know what that's going to be. That could be, you know, he could take some minutes if he improves just drastically. We don't know.
I didn't mention Yorgos' name, who, you know, had a lot of games at the end of last year where you're like, wow, we think this guy can be pretty decent in
and
the league.
I watched him run the floor and was impressed, man. For a big fella, he moves well.
His conditioning and his footwork, night and day difference.
Night and day, Grant.
Right.
Not to mention, when you look at this, Grant, you got the ability to go small.
Yep.
You got the actual ability to go big at the same time. I mean, you could play Z-Bo and Willie Cauley-Stein, and there are ways.
There are a lot of combinations.
There are. And I think that, you know, Coach Yeager seems to me, as I watch him, he thinks about all this stuff constantly, I am sure.
Well, the one thing I've noticed, and I'm saying this not only based on what I've seen, but based on what Dave Yeager told us on the radio, this team's going to get up and down the floor this year. They're not walking the ball up. They're not getting the rebound and walking it up. All right? It's like, here we go.
Yes.
All right? And let me tell you something. When you watch the game, you're going to see five guys on a rebound. After the ball is grabbed by the King, you're going to see the other four guys sprinting the positions, and they're going to try to get fast break baskets.
Man, that is just music to my ears. You were singing a lullaby.
Well, that's
right
what
there,
Dave Yeager told us.
And
that's what he's told the media.
Yeah.
And that's what they're practicing.
And when you look at it, Willie has the ability now to grab the ball and dribble it a couple times if that's what he chooses to do. There's a big difference in the guard coming back and hitting the guard in full stream, and he heading down the floor, full stride, and he heading down the floor. So I like the fact that they're going to get up and down.
And I'll tell you this. There are 30 teams right now in training camp, and I guarantee you if you go to all 30 camps, they got great positive vibes.
No doubt.
All right? No one's sitting there going, boy, gosh, it's the third day and we suck. We're going to be awful. Everyone thinks that they're, you know, everything's going well. Practice looks great. Okay.
Even Brooklyn.
Let's see what happens. Even Brooklyn. They're going to go, all right, but let's see how this team handles a four-game losing streak or when they hit a rough stretch. Then what?
I love that, Grant, because you are correct. This is all about how do you do when you face adversity. I tell my son all the time, everyone looks good in the layup lines, but when the game starts and you get smacked in the mouth and you fall on the floor, do you get up? What do you do then? And that will be an interesting thing because part of that is youth, and what does the youth do? Do they pout? Do they hold their head down? Do they get back on defense and talk about that later? You're complaining to the ref. All those little things equal out to big things.
All right. So, again, when I go over the Western Conference standings and I give you the teams, I ask a guy like Mitch, okay, you know, that's fine and dandy. I like your optimism.
Yes.
And that's good. But then I'll go, okay, who are you going to finish ahead of? And he said Portland. I'm like, okay, well, Minnesota didn't make the playoffs last year. Do you think they're a non-playoff team this year? Because I sure don't.
Right.
I think they're a playoff team.
Right. So if you took Portland out, you put Minnesota in. Now pick someone else and pull them out.
All right. So let's just, for devil's advocate, let's take the Jazz.
Okay.
But I'm just saying, just to have fun. All
okay.
right. Then you have a Denver. Do they make the playoffs?
I'm not a Denver fan. Maybe they'll shock me, Grant. I don't know. I don't get it. They were not good in 3-point shooting. I don't see any improvement there with what they've done. I know Millsap is a big pickup, but he is a four man, and Jokic is awesome. I really like him.
Good.
Is it Jokic?
Jokic.
I like him a lot, but yeah, I'm not seeing it in Denver. They could prove me wrong, though.
Yeah, I'm with you. You know, is New Orleans a playoff team? Well, you know, you look at their talent and you go, well, you know what? They're not on paper. They look like they have talent. But, you know, again, I'm going to tell you, I don't think DeMarcus Cousins is going to win squat in his life. And so until I see him being able to contribute in a team-like atmosphere, I can't pick them to be a playoff team.
Well, they have three absolutely solid players, point guard and obviously Cuz and Anthony.
Yeah.
So from that
Are you talking about Holiday or
Holiday.
Rondo?
Holiday. Oh, and Rondo. But Holiday is the big money guy. Rondo, yeah, he definitely – I don't see them making the playoffs.
I don't see the shooting on that team.
Yeah,
you?
That's the same thing that I see in Denver. They got a big guy in Denver and a four.
Yeah.
In New Orleans, they got a big guy and they got a four. But where's the shooting come from? I don't see it. In this day and age, it looks like you're going to have to run up and down like the Kings are willing to do, or you're going to have to shoot the three ball, or both.
All right, here's a team that I don't have a really good read on. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And that team is Dallas. All right?
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to give you their starting five.
Okay.
All right? I'm going to go Dennis Smith Jr.
Ooh, I like him.
Wesley Matthews.
Okay. A year more under the Achilles.
Harrison Barnes.
Okay.
Dirk Nowitzki and Nerlens Noel. That's your starting five. All right? Now, okay, but then you look at the depth. Josh McRoberts.
Okay.
Dorian Finney-Smith.
Okay.
J.J. Barea, Devin Harris, Yogi Ferrell, Seth Curry, I mean, Dwight Powell. I mean, I don't look at Dallas as a playoff team.
No, I don't see them either. The first three that you named, and one of them is a rookie in Dennis Smith Jr. He's going to be fantastic. He's going to have his ups and downs. Dirk is long in the tooth. Nerlens Noel doesn't necessarily do it for me, more of a defensive guy. I don't see. I see them actually coming in here and it being a good game.
Yep.
Who pulls that out?
By the way, Mark Cuban, who gave J.J. Barea the plane for him to miss the first day of camp, is also taking the team plane tomorrow and then again on Monday down to Puerto Rico full of food, water, and supplies.
Well done, Mark Cuban.
Yeah, no, it's great.
Well done.
Yep.
Man, that is awesome.
It is awesome.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that is, we can't even put in the, listen, I'm sorry. I've watched the video, you've watched the, we can't even imagine what it's like for those people in Puerto Rico. We understand that half of Puerto Rico doesn't even have water.
Right.
Half of the think about that for a minute.
You know, Grant, we were talking off air about the fact that when it was Houston, you could drive there and help them. There's people who could drive out of there.
You could be in Sacramento. You could rent a couple of tractor trailer trucks and you could load it up. You could have a thing right outside our station. Hey, come by and donate diapers, whatever. You know what I mean? And we could get in the truck. And guess what? In 2 days, we're in Houston.
Right.
You can't do that in Puerto Rico.
No, you cannot. So right. For them to – and Robinson Cano and some other players right. in MLB have rented a plane. And I say a plane, like a 747. This is a plane.
No, I understand.
And they're filling it up. And
because, the airport wasn't even operational for a couple of days. It's not like, for the people that wanted to – you couldn't even get there.
Yeah.
You know?
Man, oh, man.
And then, you were like, well, with ships. Well, there's no ships out there in the middle of hurricanes. And it's not –
Right, and it's a problem.
Right. And so it's not only Puerto Rico. It's like, St. Martin is destroyed. St. Thomas is, it's not just. So you, and here's the other deal. There were hurricanes all over the place. So, all right, you want to get on a ship? Well, guess what? Ships don't go very fast.
No.
So it's going to take a couple days to get there.
No doubt.
I mean, it's just, I don't think people understand that.
Yeah, it's, they're not only lost power. When we talked to Orlando Cepeda. And being from Puerto Rico, having family in Puerto Rico, you could hear it in his voice, almost speechless about, man, how do we help? And that's why it was awesome to have him on.
Yeah, I don't think people understand, the storm's gone. How come no one's helping out Puerto Rico? Well, you can't get there. It's not like you're dropping paratroopers, with backpacks full of water and stuff. You got to be realistic about this.
Yeah.
And now, fortunately, there's tons of people like Mark Cuban, and you talked about Robinson Cano, and I can go on and on and on. Yeah, it's great. But we're talking about months and months and months and months, and probably based on what I'm hearing from the experts,
years. Yeah, it's going to be tough because even when you talk about rebuilding a place like that, Grant, a lot of the stuff that's going to be needed to help rebuild that is going to be coming in on ships and a lot of different things. It's going to be a process similar to what we've seen in Haiti and a lot of different places.
All right. Again, we are with you. We're going to get you to Lambeau Field in just a little bit for the Packers. And again, I get right back to sports. I'm like, we're going to get ready to watch a football game. And, then you talk about all the Americans in that part of the world and U.S. citizens and the U.S. Virgin Islands and Puerto. And first of all, it shouldn't matter what nationality they are. I mean, it shouldn't matter whether, it shouldn't matter. They're people. Okay. And then we're going to go on and watch football and forget about it, right? I mean, and then if you watch the news tonight, then you'll be right back to reality.
No doubt. Right? Bring you right back because it's not going away.
And I haven't talked that much about all the protests, whatever the hell you want to call it. But I just, to me, sometimes our priorities for right now, I'm not talking about next week, next month, next year. I'm not talking about all the problems that we have as a society. Sometimes we don't have our priorities straight. That's all I'm saying. When you have people that are literally dying every day because they don't have water and they're in a part of an island in the middle of the ocean where nobody is helping them, why are we forgetting about those people?
Yeah, and you know what? We can go on and on with that one, Grant, because we can look at Flint, Michigan, and the problems that they've had with water, and they are right here in the continental United States. There's so many different things that we have going on in our world, and we are blessed to be here, being able to talk about sports to an incredible fan base.
Amen to that. And, we're talking about, the Kings have a game on Monday.
Yeah.
And, it's unbelievable. I haven't been to Puerto Rico in 10 years, okay? I'm not an expert on Puerto Rico. I've only been there twice. So I'm not going to sit here and talk, I know all about Puerto Rico. Here's what I do know. There are people there that are describing Puerto Rico as a war zone.
Wow.
That's how they describe it, war zone.
And they name hurricanes alphabetically.
Yes.
They just keep coming. H-I-J-K-L-M. It's just nonstop. I mean, that is hurricane season. That's why they call them the Miami Hurricanes, Grant.
Yeah, that's exactly right. All right. We are going to talk now about the game
mm-hmm.
that is going to be coming up. You're picking the upset.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Bears by three. I think that you mentioned, Grant, the fact that two of the offensive linemen for the Packers are questionable and highly doubtful. Aaron Rodgers can't do it all by himself. He's going to need some time, and he's good at that. I just think that if you look at the spread, 7 points at Lambeau Field, I would think that they're a little more dominant. The Bears front seven seem to be young. They're nameless, meaning that they're just making their way. And I think they get after him. They got something to prove. This is Thursday night football, and I think they go in and figure out a way to get it done.
Well, I know one thing. The Bears are going to be attacking the tackles of the Packers.
Yes.
Right? And that's where they're going to try to exploit that.
Yeah. And, I mean, this isn't the same Green Bay team that we've seen for many, many years. I thought last year they got exposed a little bit early. Then, yeah, they got it rolling. They, you know, Rodgers is known to relax and all these different monikers that he uses. But I would say more than anything, maybe we're seeing a chink in the armor with Green Bay. They're not the team that we've seen in the past and tonight.
Well, I don't care who you are. I don't care how good you are a quarterback. You know what? If you have to worry about your protection collapsing and you know that you have tackles that are playing on each side of you that would have no business being on the field, generally speaking, and I don't mean that in disrespect. They are in the NFL, which means that – but that's very unsettling for a quarterback. Now, the one thing that Aaron Rodgers has going for him, he's got very nimble feet. He's pretty good running, and so that will help him. But, you know, Aaron Rodgers, you know, we talk about this. He also has been susceptible to injuries.
Yes.
And, you know, you and I both know Aaron Rodgers gets hurt. Say goodbye to the Green Bay Packers.
Most definitely. Now, if we look up at Thursday Night Football, Grant, and we see the cornerbacks and defensive backs off of the line of scrimmage and allowing those receivers some airspace, Aaron Rodgers will get them the ball really quickly. That'll happen. But if they are up on them, bumping and all of that stuff, it's going to be a long night for the Green Bay Packers. It's not going to be, I don't think, what people are thinking in their mind.
All right, so we do have Thursday Night Football, Lambeau Field, the great Iron Eagle.
Eagle.
The bird.
The
on
bird.
The call.
There you go.
Westwood One, Iron Eagle in Lambeau Field.
Have you ever been to Lambeau Field?
I haven't. I want to go. I have not been there.
Yeah, that's not a place I've been either. You know, the house is right outside the stadium. Did you see that?
Oh, yeah.
I was like, whoa. And from my understanding, the outside still looks like old days.
Yes.
But you go in,
yep,
and they re-up, and it's really nice.
Yeah, so I definitely want to do that for sure.
Did you pick your football game, the college football game you're going to try to go to, SEC, yet?
We're not doing it this year. We're going to do it next year.
Where are you going?
Probably go to an Alabama game.
Ooh, yep. Crimson Tide, yep. Huh? Roll Tide.
Yep. My brother just bought a house in Tennessee, and it's about 3 hours from...
He moved out of New York?
He's going to when he retires.
Okay.
And so I'm like, okay, I'll go hang out down there and we can go an hour to Knoxville, 3 hours to... I'm like, I'll go to a couple games.
Done deal.
Yep. All right, for Doug Christie, Grant Napier, enjoy the game, everybody.